We are glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
Usually by the smell and the appearance of death.
How I recognize a zombie would be how they're walking.
The way that I recognize a zombie is because it's all dead and stuff. There's like limbs and pieces and gross stuff just hanging all off it.
By the way that they say brains. Brains.
They smell bad.
Perhaps they're biting you, and maybe that's too late.
I recognize a zombie by its smell.
They're mindless, and they're just... You could tell that something's different about them. They're not with us completely.
Zombies are easily recognized by their zombie-like appearance.
Because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Yes. Your ancestors ate manna and died, but whoever feeds on this bread will live forever. And I want to talk about zombies. Maybe you noticed that it looks like there's been a little bit of zombie activity around here, especially on the platform. We've got a bloody mess on the platform. We've got blood spread in the entryway. We've got blood everywhere. Zombies will do that. Now, what is a zombie? In Hollywood, they're a bloody mess. They're dead on the inside, but moving somehow on the outside. Now, they don't move like you and I, but they still have movement. They still have some form of life, some form of something moving them around. But on the inside, they're full of dead men's bones. They're full of dead men's bones. They're full of death and destruction. And the bloody mess that you see behind us here is evidence of zombie activity. They are a mess. In Hollywood, you see them and they're, brains, need brains. Some of us need brains. No, anyway. But the Hollywood example, it's easy to identify what a zombie is. In Jude, verse number 12, it identifies some zombie activity as well. Yeah, there's zombie activity in your Bible. Jude, verse number 12 says, they are without water, carried about of winds, trees whose fruit withereth, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Twice dead. That describes a zombie to me. Twice dead. But yet moving around amongst us. A zombie is dead on the inside. And not just dead, but twice dead. Twice dead. Imagine being twice dead on the inside. You know, I might want to try to feed on something around me too if I was twice dead on the inside. I might be looking for some source of life. I might be looking for something a little bit more than what I've got. I might be looking for something, some sort of hope. Some sort of hope for the future. Some sort of, just a little piece of peace. Just a small grain of something, a morsel of life. Twice dead beings produce dead works. Addictive habits are funny because they're fun at first. Addictive habits are fun at first. And on TV, we see the beer commercials, and they see all the beautiful people having a great time, living it up, doing great things. Man, they're happy, they're beautiful, they look good, they sound good, they smell good, they're everything good. And they're having a great time, and they're living it up. And yeah, I'll admit, that's true at first. The party's going on. You're moving, you're jiving, you're having a good time. But the thing the beer commercials never show is the next morning. Yeah. That's right. The next morning when you're putting your face in something that was never designed for your face. Never designed for your face. That's zombie activity. You are purging yourself in a place that was never intended for you. Uh-huh. Never intended for you. The guy who designed the toilet never thought, hey, not only can you put your seat here, but you can put your face here. But that's what happens the day after the party, the hangover, the headache, and the sickness, and just the poison trying to leave your body. The beer commercials never show that part of the addictive habit. They never show you the aftermath of the fun, quote unquote, that you get to have for a season. Sin is fun for a season. The smoking ads do the same thing. All the beautiful people are doing the smoking. All the strong people, the wonderful people, the great people, the movers and shakers of our world, puffing on that cigarette. But again, they don't show you the aftermath. Several years later, where someone has got a lung problem and they're literally hacking up their lung. Amen. They're hacking up their insides because they have destroyed the living, breathing self. That's zombie-like activity where you are literally hacking up a lung. The movies show the same thing. Not all movies, because I enjoy some movies. But they show the fun of sin, but not the penalty. Just fill in the blank with your illicit activity that you can think of. And they never show the penalty of that sin. They show, again, the beautiful people, the great people, the movers and shakers of our world, having a great time, just drinking in the sin, drinking in those dead works, drinking in all that dead stuff. But they never show you the aftermath. The pain, the sorrow, the absolute anguish, the deadness inside. Our world is good at showing addictive habits, dead works, as fun, as great, as something you got to try. You haven't lived until you've tried this, and fill in the blank. Dead works lead to death. These dead works are easy to identify, but what about the hidden sins? In chapter 23 and verse 27, Jesus is talking here to the Pharisees of his day. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. The Pharisees of Jesus' day, they looked good. Man, they knew the Old Testament law. They knew everything to know about religion. And man, they walked that tightrope just perfectly for all to see. But Jesus comes to them and says, that's all great. You look good. You act good. You might even smell good. You might even be good in certain areas. But there's something wrong. There's something you're missing. You're full of dead men's bones. And for this sermon today, they're zombies. We might say, well, they're in the church. They're in the synagogue. They're doing all the right things. They're saying all the right things. They're doing the Old Testament law. And they're punishing those that don't. It seems like they're doing the very work of God. But Jesus Christ comes along and says, oh, no, 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 no. You're full of dead men's bones. That's a zombie. Today we have Pharisees in our midst. Hidden zombies. Zombies you can't automatically recognize like the movie show. In a movie, it's easy to see the zombie at first because the zombie is bloody. He's missing a limb. His eyes are messed up. He's kind of marching kind of funny. He's doing all these things that are a little bit different. He's moving around. He's trying to attack you. It's easy to identify those zombies. But there are zombies amongst us right now that are hard to identify. Because like a Pharisee, they look good. They smell right. They act right. And they do all these good works for all to see. One thing about a Pharisee is he doesn't do things in private that are good. He does things out in the open so that all can see, so he can get all the credit, all the glory, all the credit goes to him. But inside they're full of dead men's bones. Zombie movies always have a hidden zombie. And the key to life, and life eternal, is how to identify a Pharisee or even a zombie in your midst. How do we know a zombie in our midst? Zombies are everywhere. Some you can identify, some you cannot. To identify a zombie, you cannot depend on your natural five senses. We must use discernment, spiritual discernment. 1 John chapter number 4, verses 1 through 3. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they be of God. Because many false prophets are gone into the world. Hereby you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. Spiritual discernment. Let me spend a little time there. Our five senses are great. God gave us our five senses so that we can operate in the world, so that we can move, so that we can breathe, so that we can identify things, so that we can work, learn, and live in this present age. And they do lots of wonderful things. Eyes help you see so that you can drive down the road. Your nose helps you smell those wonderful fresh baked cookies and makes your stomach say, oh, it's time to eat. Your taste buds, your taste, allows you to taste those wonderful cookies that your nose has identified. When my wife breaks cookies, or even when my daughter breaks cookies, I always know to go to the kitchen because there's something good waiting for me. That's using your five senses in a good way. A sense of touch, touching that cookie and just feeling the warmth in your hand and knowing that something good is about to happen. Your five senses are good, but they can deceive you. They can trick you into thinking that something that is good is actually wrong. When I think about that, I think about the preachers, not all the preachers, but the preachers that you see on TV. Man, they look right. They've got the perfect oratory. They've got that perfect voice. I watch them sometimes because I'm amazed at how they get to a crowd of people up and moving and grooving and shaking and doing all kinds of things. Benny Hinn can even get a whole crowd of people to fall down just by waving his hand or blowing his breath or whatever it is he does. Maybe he's got halitosis real bad and that's why they fall down. I don't know. But they look right. They know the Bible inside and out. Or I should say they've got it memorized. But inside, a lot of them are full of dead men's bones. Because they are only after what they can get out of you. Just like a zombie. He's only interested in what he can get out of you. A Pharisee, a zombie in our midst, can only pull out life. Because he doesn't have life inside of him. He's dead on the inside. Read earlier, Jude verse 12, it said, twice dead. Imagine being twice dead on the inside. Twice dead. That's a sad state to be. Twice dead. If I was twice dead, in fact, I used to be twice dead on the inside, I'd try to fill that void with everything I could. And that's where our world comes in and says, hey, fill it with this. Fill it with this. Fill that void with this drug or this movie or this action. This thing that'll give you a temporary high. Fill yourself with that and you'll have life inside of you. And for a little while that works. You get a little goosebump. You get a little fuzzy feeling inside and you realize, hey, this feels pretty good. But like we said earlier, doesn't show the other side of the story. The Bible talks about sin is good for a season. For a season. Me, I want something that's going to be good for eternity. I'm not interested in just this temporary life that I've got here. I'm interested in where my eternal destiny lies. Is my eternal destiny with God, or is my eternal destiny going to be in a devil's hell where God never intended me to be? Just like that toilet was never intended for your face to go in, hell has never been intended for you to go there. Never intended for you. But the sad thing is, that's where we can end up. if we live a zombie life. A zombie life is easy to live here in America because there's all kinds of choices that you can choose from. You can choose your religion. Christianity has a church on every corner. Not all of them are doing the good work of God. Some of them are, thank the Lord. But not all of them are. That's where we have to use our spiritual discernment. We have to know that those that preach that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God.
Yes,
those that don't preach Jesus Christ is come in the flesh are not of God. They're zombies. They're church zombies. They're Pharisees. They're fake. Their only thing that they have is just skin deep. There's no real substance. When you try to chew and ingest what they have, it only lasts for maybe that Sunday. It doesn't get you through the week. It doesn't help you on your job. It doesn't help you in the school. It doesn't build you up in the kingdom of God. God wants so much for us. Spiritual discernment is the only way to identify a zombie. We've got to identify the zombies in our midst. The zombies in our midst are trying to find something to feed on. And if you do not identify the zombies in our midst, they will feed on you. They will attach themselves to you. That's why we can't always trust our five senses, because at first a Pharisee or a zombie will look just right. In the movies, there's always a zombie in the safe room with the normal people. He's been bitten, but the bite is hidden. He's got long sleeves and he's hiding it. Or he's been bitten in the side and he's got his shirt pulled down, hiding it, so that the others won't identify him and kick him out of the safe room, because he's dead inside, but he's still got enough of his mental capacity to realize, hey, if I identify myself as a zombie, they're going to kick me out of here. And in a little while, I'm going to need these people to feed on so that I can live. A zombie is hidden a lot of times. Like I said, it's easy to identify the zombies. You know, the person sitting on the side of the road maybe begging for change so that they can go and get a temporary high on, you know, an illicit drug or even alcohol or whatever. Those are easy to identify. But those that walk amongst us at work, at school, even in the church, we've got to use spiritual discernment. We've got to put our spiritual eyes on, our spiritual thinking caps, and say, hey, not everything is of God. There are some things that are not of God. That's why it is so important not to just take my word for things, not to just take Pastor Chris or Pastor Scott or Pastor Marshall's word for it, or any other preacher that comes and stands behind this pulpit. You don't take another man's word for it, for eternal life. You open your Bible and you read. You open your mouth and you pray. You lift your hands and you worship.
Yes, Jesus.
You get a personal relationship with God that is reaching out for you so hard, that is reaching out for you so long, and wanting to touch you so bad. You got to have a personal relationship with God. Otherwise, you're just acting like a zombie.
Yeah.
I don't want to be a zombie. Zombies end up in a devil's hell. A place never intended for me. Never intended for me. Just like I said a while ago, the toilet was never intended for the face to go into. Hell was never intended for you to go to. There are some churches that preach, yes, you deserve hell and you need to put $100 in the offering to prevent going to hell. That's not Redemption Church. Redemption Church says, you worship God. You feed on the Word of God, and you come and you talk to God. You talk to God. Now, when you come and talk to God, it doesn't have to be full of these and thous and, you know, here I am, God, to pray to you. I'm going to do everything that you wanteth, and I'm... No. That's the way the Pharisee prays. That's the way the zombie prays, so that he sounds good for the crowd. You got to talk to God in your own language.
Jesus.
Hey, God, here I am. I'm a sinner. I've messed up. and I want you to help me exactly where I am. Because that's what God wants. He wants to take you out of the zombie life and into the real life, into the life eternal, into life more abundantly, life full of glory, going from glory to glory, not from problem to problem, but from glory to glory. One day at a time, one step at a time. He wants to bless you. He wants to get the stress off of you. I'm reminded of Jesus talking and saying, my burden is light. The burden of this world and zombie activity is heavy. That's why they walk a little funny, because they're weighed down. They're beaten down by life. They're beaten down by their surroundings. They're miserable. And they struggle along looking for anything that can give them some sort of peace, some sort of hope. And it's so sad to see, because every zombie at one time had a chance at life. The Pharisees in our midst, the zombies in our midst, have an opportunity at life. They have an opportunity to go from glory to glory, from blessing to blessing. From great activities, to building the kingdom of God. But unfortunately, a lot of us miss those opportunities. Every moment spent at Redemption Church is important. But none more important than when you come to this altar and you talk to God. And I encourage you, if you don't have a relationship with God, there's no better time than today to get a relationship with God. No better day. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Today is your day. If you've been walking around like a zombie, or you know someone that's a zombie, we need to identify that. But once we identify that, what are we to do? Okay, I realize I'm a zombie. I'm dead on the inside. Or I realize my coworker is a zombie. They're dead on the inside. I realize that my wife or my child or my husband or my friend is dead on the inside. What do I do? Some duck and cover, duck and run, distance themselves from the zombie because they're afraid of becoming a zombie themselves. And there are a lot of churches that preach, isolate yourself from the zombies in your area. Isolate yourself so that you can be perfect. Don't be unequally yoked. They totally trash that scripture all the time. They say, isolate yourself. Be alone. Get in that safe room and don't let anybody in. Stay by yourself so that you can be holy, so that you can look right, act right, and you can do the right things. Jesus. Redemption Church says the other thing, the exact opposite of that, a completely different paradigm. We say, go into all the world and preach the gospel. All the world. Reach out to the zombies around you so that you can help them. Because there's nothing sadder than seeing a zombie that used to be full of life and is now dead on the inside. Zombie activity is so sad. But what do we do once we've identified a zombie? Or even worse, what if I am the zombie? Dead things need to be destroyed and buried. Zombies must be buried too. Yes, but I'm not talking about like in the movies where they hack them up into little pieces and throw them this way and that and try to burn them or try to bury them or try to do this, that, or the other. I'm talking about something spiritual. If you recognize that you're a zombie today, there's something that you need to do about it. If you know of a zombie in your midst, there's something you need to do about it. When I was a zombie, I realized that dead things needed to be destroyed and buried. Buried in baptism. Yes, amen. Once buried in baptism, the zombie habits of feeding on others can be defeated. Buried in baptism, repenting of dead works. Identifying a zombie is so important, but once we've identified it, there's action required. Because you will die if you're the zombie, an eternal pain and suffering. In a place you were never intended to go. But if you identify it and take action, there is hope. We've got to repent of dead works and get baptized. We've got to receive the Holy Spirit into our heart, into our body, into our mind, our soul, every aspect of our being. We've got to receive the Holy Ghost so that we can live life more abundantly and go from glory to glory, from blessing to blessing, from great activity and do great things for the kingdom of God. But without the Holy Ghost inside of you, without that Holy Spirit working inside of you, you're nothing but a zombie. We must repent of dead works. Dead works only lead to death. Amen. Like I said, addictive habits are fun at first, but they all lead to death. And I'm not talking about just the physical death that all of us are going to experience, unless the Lord comes back and we all fly out of here. There's a spiritual death that is much more serious. There's a spiritual damnation that is much more serious. There's a spiritual destiny that is so isolated from God and so sad that we need to do everything we can to avoid it for ourselves, for our families, for those around us, our friends, our coworkers, our schoolmates, even our teachers. We've got to share the good news. If you know of zombies in your midst, witness to them and let them know about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Let them know about the fact that there's hope. You don't have to live the zombie life. If you're the zombie, you do not have to live the zombie life beyond today. Before this day is done, before we leave this place, you can become a living creature, living on the inside, living on the outside, going from glory to glory, from blessing to blessing. But the only way to do that is Jesus Christ. The only way to do that is Jesus Christ. There are those that preach all kinds of things that you can, you know, there are 7 ways to the kingdom of God or 7 habits of highly effective people. Now, you can apply that in the business world and it'll be good for you. But in the spiritual realm, in your eternal destiny, you need something more than just a catchy gimmick. Something more than just dead men's works. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Faith without works is dead. We've got to have both. Notice, works are good. Faith is good. But we've got to have both in order to get rid of the zombie activity inside, outside, and all around us. Once you've repented of dead works, once you've been baptized and received the Holy Ghost, you can stop feeding on others and things that lead to death. Things that lead to death. Death is such a permanent thing. We avoid it at all cost. Plastic surgeons will stretch your skin and pull the fat out of you and do all kinds of things so that you look young forever. Joan Rivers is the greatest example of that. She doesn't even have eyebrows anymore. She's just got a hairline up here where her eyebrows are because they've pulled that skin so tight. That's what the world wants to make you into, something that looks good on the outside. But on the inside, you're full of dead men's bones. Joan Rivers one day is going to die and meet her eternal destiny. She's going to meet her God. I pray that she has repented of dead works. And she's not just looking good on the outside, but she's got something on the inside that's going to raise her up at the last day. That's going to raise her up when that last trump sounds. And raise her up to meet Jesus Christ in the air. And raise her up so that she can see Jesus Christ face to face. And person to person and say, Jesus, here I am. I've worked. I've done everything I can. I've got faith in you. And here I am to spend eternity with you. That's what we need today. Our scripture reading, verily I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. For my flesh is real food, and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so the one that feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your ancestors ate manna and died, but whoever feeds on this bread will live forever. I want to live forever with Jesus Christ. I want to know Jesus Christ more every day of my life. Every time we come together, I want to get just a little bit closer to Him. Just one more step closer. Just a little bit deeper in a relationship with Him. Just a little bit more of Jesus is what I desire every service.
Yeah.
Because as my family can tell you, man, I need it. I can be a cusser and a fusser. I can be wrong. I can be resentful. I can be hateful. I can be a zombie. If I don't have Jesus Christ on the inside of me, if I'm not constantly feeding on the Word of God, feeding on the flesh of Jesus Christ, drinking in His blood that was spilled for me, knowing Him more intimately every moment of my life, I can go back to those old, dead works that should be behind us. Now, you may look at all the people around us and say, man, these are fine-looking folks, and you are a bunch of fine-looking folks. How could there possibly be a zombie amongst us right now? Maybe there's not, but maybe there is. Maybe you're the zombie. You need to repent of dead works so that you can have real life. Jesus Christ did not come into this world, die on a cross, resurrect through a great miracle, and ascend into heaven, and then give us the Holy Ghost so that we can just struggle in this present life. We are not supposed to be zombies dragging along. I see people at work every day. Every Monday they come in like it's the end of the world. You would think they were going in for a root canal with no painkiller because they're so dreading the day that's about to happen. And sometimes they look at me and say, what are you smiling about? Don't you know it's Monday morning? Don't you know this job stinks? Don't you know there's a spreadsheet full, I'm an accountant, there's a spreadsheet full of numbers that don't make any sense that you're going to have to go through until you're cross-eyed? Yeah, I realize that. But I also realize that Sunday, just yesterday, I touched God again. And He gave me the strength to not be a zombie. He gave me the ability to overcome all the things in life. He gave me the ability to succeed, be a blessing to myself, my family, and to those around me, so that I'm not a zombie.
My name is Scott, and I've been going to Redemption Church for 7 years. Things haven't always been so good for me. When people come to me and they confess that they have addictions, I certainly understand not being able to stop. In junior high, I compression fractured my spine in a weightlifting accident, and I was given pain meds, and pain meds pretty soon led to addiction. My prescription ran out as I was abusing the medication, and I was looking for something else to kill the pain. I began to experiment with large quantities of over-the-counter medicines, not to make my back pain go away anymore, but for emotional pain. It got to the point where I wanted to stop, but it was like I couldn't. I wasn't addicted to getting high or anything like that, but I was addicted to making my emotions deadened. As I got older, my responsibilities increased and I couldn't be tired all the time. I had to figure something out, and I began abusing diet pills or uppers, and it was helping me to get awake, but really, it was just another medicine to control me. No matter how fast I moved and no matter how hard I tried, I needed pills to get through the day and pills to help me to get up, pills to help me to go to sleep. I was animated, although I was dead on the inside. At Redemption Church, I found a different view of God than I'd ever seen before. This was a God that loved me. This was a God that got up inside me and changed things for me. This was a God that gave me a new drive. I wasn't being controlled by medicine or medications anymore, but I was walking out the steps that the Lord had planned for me. Today I'm healed, I'm happy, I'm married, I'm a father, and I get to be a youth pastor that helps out kids with the same kind of problems that I had as a child. Today, I want you to know that if you feel dead on the inside, you can be made fully alive in Jesus Christ, just like me.
Praise God. Let's all stand. As I begin to close here, you look at Pastor Scott now and you say, how could he have ever been a zombie? He's always at the church working. He's always doing great things. He's helping kids. He's full of life. Yeah. All of us are born into sin. And that sin grows in us from day one and makes us a zombie if you don't have God on the inside. Mm-hmm. Jesus on the inside, working on the outside. Oh, what a change in my life. That's an old hymn that I used to sing at the old Pentecostal church where I got saved. But it is so true. Jesus on the inside, working on the outside. Jesus, you've got to have Jesus on the inside today. If you don't have Jesus, or you've lost your way and you feel like you don't have Jesus anymore. Salvation, let me say, is not just a one-time experience. You don't come and sign a church card or join a church one time and say, okay, I'm good, I'm going to cruise, just sit down, shut up, and pay my tithe. No, that there's so much more. It's a constant relationship with Jesus Christ, because we don't want to be the living dead. We don't want to leave a trail of destruction everywhere we go. We don't want to leave evidence like is on our platform today. Look at the hands. Those are the hands of former living beings that are now dead on the inside and looking for life anywhere they can find it. Clawing for life. Clawing for it. Now these altars are open. I encourage everyone to come and talk to God. Come and talk to God. Because God is the only one that can rescue from a zombie life.
Thank you for joining us. For more information about Redemption, look us up online at www.redemption-church.com. And be sure to connect with us on Facebook and Twitter.